The daily market mayhem in Europe is no recipe for success here in the U.S.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. European Union officials said today that economic growth in Europe will come to a near standstill this year because of the debt crisis. And it's fair to say the debt problems across the Atlantic aren't helping our economic growth much either. For more on the impact, let's bring in Marketplace's David Gura, who is live with us this morning from Washington. Good morning.
Morning, Jeremy.
Well, David, how is all the market turmoil from Europe affecting business so far here in the U.S.?
Well, the bottom line is it's causing even more economic uncertainty on top of all the economic uncertainty we've seen so far. You know, we've had a few banks, JP Morgan's among them, telling investors they shouldn't expect a great third quarter. We've seen companies drop bids for other companies. Avis did that yesterday, saying it's no longer interested in buying Dollar Thrifty. And some companies have delayed IPOs. The FT is reporting Facebook will put off its IPO till next year at least. And of course, there are concerns and questions about how this will affect our financial system. Now, over the last few weeks, we've heard from Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner. We've heard from the Fed chairman. They've both said they're talking to their counterparts in Europe, and they're monitoring what exposure U.S. banks have to European debt.
And of course, Treasury Secretary Geithner will be in Europe tomorrow meeting with finance ministers. What kind of influence is he going to have there?
Well, economists I talked to said Tim Geithner actually plays a key role in all this. He's a guy who's been through a financial crisis, of course. He knows what went wrong, what went right, and that experience is pretty important. I called up Alexei Montserrat. He's with the Atlantic Council, and he told me the U.S. can do two things.
One is to be supportive publicly of what it is that Europe is doing. And the second is to work closely with them strategically so that both the U.S. and Europe are pulling in the same direction.
Montserrat told me that the U.S. and Europe have done a pretty good job sharing information so far, but he thinks that there needs to be a tougher strategic discussion. They need to push each other a bit more, sort of figure out where things are headed and where they should be headed, Jeremy.
Marketplace's David Gura in Washington. David, thanks.
Thank you.
Now to the housing market. A report out this morning finds the number of first-time default notices for homeowners jumped by 33% between July and August. But as Marketplace's Jeff Tyler reports, that is not necessarily a bad thing.
Default notices are sent when a loan payment is at least 90 days past due.
As odd as it sounds to say that a 33% increase in default notices is a good thing, it probably is on the balance.
That's Rick Sharga with RealtyTrack, which issued today's report. He says foreclosure rates earlier this year were artificially low, delayed by botched paperwork and legislation.
If the housing market is going to recover, we need to work through the overhang of distressed properties. And the only way to do that is for the banks to be actively moving these properties through the foreclosure process.
Housing market consultant Thomas Lawler says there's a big supply of foreclosed properties in the pipeline.
About 2.3 million of those delinquent loans are ones where the borrower hasn't made a payment in over a year.
Getting those bad loans off the books will likely mean a growing number of foreclosures in the months ahead. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are higher across Europe and Asia this morning, up more than 1% in London right now. The midnight deadline here in the U.S. for the United Auto Workers Union to agree on new labor contracts with the big three American automakers has been passed, but no deals yet. Both sides say they're going to keep talking. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow jumped 140 points to close at 11,246.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. By Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu. And by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896. AllianzUSA.com.
It has been exactly 3 years to the day since Lehman Brothers collapsed. Many economists say that event all by itself dramatically escalated our slide into recession. We're going to take a trip down memory lane now with our New York Bureau Chief, Heidi Moore. Good morning.
Good morning.
So take us back to that day 3 years ago, September 15th, 2008, when Lehman Brothers filed for bankruptcy. You were at the Wall Street Journal at the time. What happened?
It was an incredibly emotional weekend for everybody. As reporters, we were scrambling all weekend to reach everybody we knew who would have any bit of information. The news was moving fast. Lehman was going to be acquired. It wasn't going to be acquired. At the very last minute, it filed for bankruptcy. And everyone that I talked to personally was incredibly overcome by emotion.
And did you realize at the time the implications of a Lehman Brothers bankruptcy, that it could really ripple across the entire economy as it did?
I think that was in the back of people's minds because it was literally unthinkable. It was as if a gasp had gone up from the entire financial markets. In many cases, we didn't even have rules in place to govern an institution like that that would be bankrupt, which is why the Lehman bankruptcy extends to this day. We just didn't even have a playbook.
And now here we are 3 years after that fact. You cover Wall Street every day. Have things changed? Could there be another Lehman?
I don't think there could be another Lehman because we've seen what the costs of a Lehman are. If we allow failure, it extends really quickly. And of course, now we have the Dodd-Frank financial package that's designed to give us a healthier banking system.
And it has a living will for big banks so that if they have to fail, then there's an orderly way for them to do that.
Right. There's a school of thinking that says good luck with that, because getting a bank to write down everything it owns on any given day is really hard. But we're trying. The question is, can we get to a place where we are fully secure in our financial system again? That will probably take decades.
Marketplace New York Bureau Chief Heidi Moore, thanks so much.
Thank you, Jeremy.
And finally to Denver, where a guy named Tom Martino has been a trusted source for consumer advice. He's got a radio show and his own consulting firm. He calls himself the Troubleshooter. Well, now the Troubleshooter is in a bit of trouble. He's just filed for bankruptcy after piling up about $78 million worth of real estate debt. Apparently, being a consumer financial advisor is more lucrative than I thought. Anyway, Martino insists he's still trustworthy on consumer issues. He tells the Denver Business Journal, quote, "It's all commercial real estate debt, every bit of it. I have no consumer debt." In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
We need health care and we need jobs, right? So build more hospitals?
We can employ tens of thousands of people for 40 or 50 years. And they would make as much sense as building redundant hospital capacity.
Maybe not. I'm Kai Rizdahl, healthcare and hired hands, next time on Marketplace. It's from APM. That's American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.